I'll be reading from Genesis chapter 2, verses 24. I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. You may be seated.
Hey, Justin, would you pull up the Passion of the Christ image, one of those, and just keep it in the background for me? Appreciate that. I think we need to see this regularly. This didn't happen so that we can just live in a country and be comfortable in our neighborhoods. So that we can have nice jobs and a full retirement. Because that may not happen. I think we need to see this because Jesus didn't endure this to ensure that we just smile a lot and are happy. He didn't suffer like this to make sure we have friends and feel satisfied all the time. This happened because we are wholly inadequate and entirely guilty and lost without it. My sermon today is titled, How to Choose Someone to Marry. Well, Jesus didn't die on the cross just to ensure that we have a cute little marriage. Now, I also know the majority of people grow up wanting to be married one day. Some people, I want to be married because that's where God said I can have a sexual relationship free of sin. Well, yes, it's so much more than that. Some people say they want to be married and it's time to get married because, well, that's just the next step in our relationship. You see, we've been together for so long. Well, maybe, but it requires so much more than that. Some people want to get married because they want that fairy tale love story. But really, with some people, it's not just the love story. I want that fairy tale wedding ceremony, trendy and picturesque. Well, you can have that, and that's not bad to want. I'd rather you choose a Jesus love story. Choosing who you marry is choosing the second most spiritually influential person for the entirety of your life outside of Jesus the Christ. So how do we go about choosing someone to marry? Well, you need to turn to Choosing Who to Marry, chapter 3, verse 4. Oh yeah, that's not in there, is it? Okay. Well, let's just go ahead and turn to Have a Happy Marriage, chapter 1, verse 12. Oh, wait, that's not there either. You're not going to find either one of those places in Scripture. Why? Because God didn't write the Bible and said, by saying, here is elementary school, chapters 1 through 10. Here is how to graduate high school and go on to find a promising career with upward mobility, chapters 1 through 20. This is how to have a happy marriage for men and for women. Because God didn't write Scripture to ensure that we go to school, that we have a nice job, or even that we just simply and by itself attain a happy marriage. God wrote Scripture so that we can have life and godliness. And not just breathe breath on earth, but to have a life, an abundant life, the John 16:33 life. Not just life that I live and move and breathe and have my being, because anybody, any pile of flesh and bones can do that, but to how to have life and godliness. How to Colossians 3, verse 17, that I do everything I do in word or deed, I do in the name of Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father. It's the Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, that we were created in Christ Jesus for good works which God prepared beforehand so that we might walk in them. God didn't write Scripture so that we can just have all these topical fantasies of life. God gave us the Word made flesh to see what service and sacrifice is all about for a greater cause. And that Word that was made flesh eventually became inspired and written on paper and held and providentially cared for in the pages of Scripture so that we can know what service and sacrifice is. And so in my life of service and sacrifice to God, in my life of doing everything in word or deed, in Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus Christ, all the while giving thanks to God the Father through Him, now, how do I choose someone to marry? I think there's some principles and some thoughts I want to share briefly because it's important. As a matter of fact, as I said earlier, choosing someone to marry is choosing the second most spiritually influential person in your life outside of Jesus the Christ. So you need to know, and go ahead and turn to Colossians chapter 3, and I promise you that is in the Bible. So you can go ahead and open up there. Go ahead. A book or a phone. I love when I catch eyes with people in the audience. Yeah, and I'm like, yeah, I'm talking to you. Go ahead. So, choosing someone to marry, you need to know this. It starts by becoming the right person yourself. Finding someone else to marry starts with becoming the right person yourself. Notice these principles of life in Colossians 3, starting in verse 12. Because each one of these principles, they're not initially or even focused primarily on marriage, but rather on your holiness. You see, you, me, we, you need to work, and I need to work. We all must work on primarily ourselves becoming holy before we can pick somebody else to help us to become even more holy. I'm going to get to verse 12 in just a minute. The entire narrative of Scripture, I cannot overemphasize this. The entire narrative of Scripture can generally be summarized by saying this: God is great. God is grand. God is worthy of our praise and our entire life in sacrifice. And everything we do, no matter what area of life, no matter what fantasy I'm thinking about, no matter what trajectory of job or career or place I live, no matter what happens, my life is devoted to giving God glory. Everything. First. But sometimes we get lost in this mindset. And here's sometimes how we think. I'm going to school. Now I'm in activities. Now I'm dating. Now how do I date? Now I want to be married. Now I'm in college. Or now I'm graduating college. Now I'm doing grad school. We're going to have a family because now I'm married. What's family like? In-laws. Oh, yeah. I got to figure out that God thing. What's he about again? Almost like God is some topic. Or in the dresser drawers of life, there's just something that says Jesus or Christianity. And I pull the drawer out when I'm interested, and then I close it shut, and I go on living my life. Well, we get lost in that mindset. We are deceived by the deceiver to think that way. God is everything. Life contains all these other things. And so we're here in Colossians 3. Finding the right person starts with becoming the right person. Notice this. Put on then. This is what we're supposed to wear. Become like. Seek to be like. Put on then as God's chosen ones. Holy and beloved. Compassionate hearts. Kindness. Humility. Are you reading this with me? Meekness. Patience. Bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And this next verse is about to explain what's to rule in your life. This means nothing else can surpass it. Nothing else should supplant it. Nothing else can take its place. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body. And be thankful. I'm becoming the right person. I want to be the right person. Because how can I be the right person for someone else if I'm so worried about them, I don't even work on myself? And let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Choosing and finding the right person starts with you becoming the right person. Now, I know I'm speaking to an audience of people, mostly who are married, but it's crazy to think about the group here today. Some have no interest because you're too young. Others are highly interested and don't feel like you have prospects. As if marriage is like a prospective thing. That's funny. Other people are newly in marriage. Others have been married for so long. Others are in happy marriages. Some are in unhappy marriages. Some are in broken marriages. Some are healing from a divorce. Some are now healing from death. There are all sorts of things happening right here, right now. Maybe God will speak to you in some situation today through Scripture, because all I have are principles of godliness. But our aim is to see those principles and figure out how they fit into my situation. So anything we involve ourselves with, and in any situation we find ourselves in, specifically for those who are choosing someone to marry, here's the question you need to ask yourself. Will this person specifically help me glorify God? Help me live for God. Help me to become more holy for my God. Yes or no? You know, we're trying to figure out, am I that first? Am I living to glorify God? We need to figure that out first. And when that becomes a yes, you start asking that second question, will they as well? Because choosing the right person starts with becoming the right person. You know, I don't think it's a mistake that after verses 12 to 17, if you're looking at your Bible, what's the next paragraph of text about in verses 18 to 25? Interesting how that works, isn't it? If you don't have a Bible open, here's the title in my Bible above the paragraph. Rules for a Christian Household. Fascinating. As you become the right person, it creates the right type of home. Marriage, parenting, children. Finding the right person starts by becoming the right person. Secondly, you attract what you advertise for. Now, I'm going to take you to a place that you never thought you'd go today, especially within this topic. You ready for this? Joshua chapter 6. And I promise you, I have a point with this. Joshua chapter 6. Listen to verses 22, 23, 24, and 25. Walls of Jericho, about to come down. Israel's been circling for days now. But Joshua leads a couple of spies into the city, says, do not do anything until you find this person and her entire family. And if you're a Bible student, you know where I'm going. And if you're a Bible student, you're thinking, what on earth is he about to say about this person? Listen to this. But the two men who had spied out the land, verse 22... Joshua said, go into the prostitute's house and bring from out from there the woman and all who belong to her as you swore to her. And so the young men who had been spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and brothers and all who belonged to her. And they brought all her relatives and put them outside the camp of Israel. Now this verse 24 is all about what they did to the city, but I'm going to skip to verse 25. Because listen, church, listen to how she's described as a person. Listen to her profession. But Rahab the prostitute and her father's household and all who belonged to her, Joshua saved alive. And she has lived in Israel to this day because she hid the messengers whom Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. Who do you think came seeking out her services? Those whom she advertised for. Now, I can't sit here and speak to her situation. I can't speak to her upbringing. I can't speak to how she got into this arena of work, which shouldn't be. I don't know the backstory. I don't know what's going on in her mind. I don't know what's going on at all, other than what the Bible says. But there's something about Rahab that speaks to this conversation today. What is it you're wondering? I think this is it. Some people say, it doesn't matter how I advertise myself, meaning what I wear, how I act physically in dating, what I put in messages, how I handle myself in dark, private secrecies, in secret places, because God knows what's in my heart. Well, He does. Just for our sake today, what if Rahab had the greatest heart ever? Even with the greatest heart ever, guess who came to her door? Those she advertised for. When we choose someone to marry, you need to figure out what you advertise. Because you will attract what you advertise. And what you win somebody with is also what you win them to. Well, once we get married, I'll change and be this. Well, once we get together, I'll do things differently and it'll be better. No. What you win people with is what you win them to. Word of caution. How you act matters. How you dress matters. Keeping yourself pure in dark secret places matters. What you message and what you say in text, in word, in private, with whispers, it matters. Because if you want to attract someone who's highly spiritual, guess what you need to be? If you want to attract somebody with peace, purity, steadfastness, endurance, kindness, commitment. Guess what you need to be? Now, I know that I can't speak to every situation entirely. Some people might say, well, Austin, I did that. I thought I looked for that. I did that. And now look where I am. Now look at my marriage. Now look what my life has become. And I'm sorry. Some people are the exact opposite. Some people are like, well, we did it all wrong. We did nothing right. Had no clue what we were doing. And now look at my marriage. Isn't it great? Well, I'm proud for you. I can only speak in generalities. And I'll never question the power of God in someone's life, nor in someone's marriage. Remember, these are general principles. And I think a general principle we need to understand and at least think about while choosing someone to marry is you attract what you advertise for. I have another thought that I've had for years. Have you ever heard the phrase, I'm just waiting to find my one? Well, that's cute. And it might sound good on the Hallmark Channel. That might be great to write in a card or to put on a balloon. But you know what it doesn't work for? Real life. There's just one out there. One person just for me in all the billions. No. I don't believe it. Here's why I don't believe it. Because love and marriage are not simply winning the lottery of life that I just so happen to find the one person in the billions who cover the face of the earth. The one person that was just destined for me just so happened to live within a drivable distance on the same continent. And they spoke the same language and lived within the same time frame of life that I did. Wouldn't you think, isn't that just amazing? Sounds like a Hallmark movie. No. Love leading to marriage is not about finding your one person. It's about choosing that one type of person. See, I believe love is a choice. Does love have within it emotion and passion? Absolutely. But you can fall in love and become passionately and intimately connected and fused to a person who is absolutely no good to you, who is absolutely terrible to you. As a matter of fact, there are many people, and I've known people, who have been utterly in love with somebody who even abuses them. So is love simply an emotion that you just fall into? No. That's being deceived by the deceiver. Love is a choice. It's the Joshua 24, verse 15, when he said, choose you this day whom you will serve. Here's what me and my household we will do. Abraham was seeking a wife for his sons. He said, go find someone from my kin. Go choose somebody that had what? A spiritual heritage that is the same, a native heritage that is the same, that would understand family dynamics in the way that we understand them. Why? Because I choose to be in love with the right type of person. It's not about falling and finding that one, but selecting that type and then picking to be with them. Because here's what's going to happen in a marriage. In a marriage, what will happen? There will be ups and downs, good and bad. Time where you feel the fuzzy butterflies. Oh, I just love him so much. And then you'll feel times like this. We better not talk for about 5 to 10 minutes. But you know what you do in those moments? You choose love. And if love were simply an emotion, and if it were just about finding that one person, well then, if you pick the wrong person, and then that one person actually comes along, you just drop that one like it's hot and find the next one. That's why it's not it. That's why love is a choice, and marriage is a decision and commitment to stay committed to each other, but not just each other, but to God Almighty. When you strike the covenant with each other and with Him. It's about finding that one type of person. I'm going to go to Proverbs chapter 31. And I want to say something about the Proverbs. These words are wise sayings. What does it mean to be a proverb? That generally speaking, these are general truths. Does it guarantee and cement forever that they will be true always and forever? I do not believe so. I believe these are called proverbs because they are wise sayings that generally tend to be right. Now, they are right as in they're not wrong and they're not a lie. But as a general truth, Proverbs chapter 31, look at 10 to 12. An excellent wife, who can find? She's far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he'll have no lack of gain. She does him good, not harm, all the days of her life. And the words continue, but I want to focus on those three. It's not about finding your one. It's about choosing the right type. Guys, you choose somebody who will love God and love you selflessly. You choose somebody who will serve, not just spiritually to the Father, but serve within your relationship. And if someone's willing to sacrifice and serve God Almighty, they will sacrifice and serve in a marriage relationship. And ladies, girls, women, you find a man who is able to trust in your heart. A man who's willing to open up his heart. Because if he's willing to open up his heart and trust in the Lord our God, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, then he's willing to open up his heart and give it to you. And what is it that you desire? A deep, committed, and emotionally connected relationship where it's supported and spiritual. And as you're trying to figure out who to marry, have you ever searched on the internet? I'm trying to buy some tennis shoes, and I have a love for tennis shoes that I probably shouldn't have. I also don't want to spend a whole bunch of money, so that really narrows down my options of like comfortable, good-looking shoes. And today, in today's day and age, they're going to be comfortable, but most likely they're going to be ugly because shoes are just ugly today for the most part. I'm sorry, but they are. Mm-hmm. But in searching for the 9,000 shoes that Academy Sports has available, whether in stores or online, here's what I do. You click on the filter button. And when you click on the filter button, what do you do? Well, you set your price range. And so for me, you know, I set it at 20 bucks. That's not going to do much. It's not going to cut it. So I'm like, all right, you know, I'll get expensive. $35. Man, still not cutting it. And so I finally set my price. And I set my brand, and then I set my size, and after I filtered all of those out, the 9,000 tennis shoes narrow themselves down to 32. Well, guess what? I looked through all 32 just the other day, and there are only three in my size. I'm like, we're in a tennis shoe crisis, at least for cheapskates like me. There's one in my size yet. I've got to wait on the manufacturers to put them together and ship them and put them in the stores, and eventually that's going to get there. What does this have to do with marriage? Choosing the right type? You set your filter. Because about all the 9,000 possibilities, I set my filter. Love God. Faithful to the Lord. Loves her family. Loves God. Loves her family. Has similar interests that I do and loves people. Now, all the 9,000 are filtered out, and guess what? There are about 32 left. But none are just for me yet. I don't have to force it. I don't have to go and buy a pair of shoes right now. You don't have to force it. You don't have to go and get a wife or a husband right now. But you'll wait. And strength will rise as you wait on the Lord. You know what's beautiful about that? Listen. This might be the most important part. God has always been enough. And I don't think I believed that as a teenager. And from someone who, I don't know if I actually believed that as a teenager and in my college years. If you're a teenager in your college years, listen. God has always been enough. Marriage is not the end-all, be-all of existence. God has always been enough. I want you to have a Jesus love story. And if you choose to bring someone along in your Jesus love story, you better make sure they help you along in the Jesus love story. So now as I finish up. You know, it's funny. I had 17 things listed that you need to know before you get married. But we started Bible class now, so I'm not going to do that. I might just put that in the bulletin this next week. I want to tell you something that I'm not sure you hear often enough. In choosing someone to marry, guard your heart like it is gold, because it is. Your heart and your soul are precious. So be kingdom-minded and not me-minded. Be kingdom-minded and not sex-minded. Be kingdom-minded and not media-minded. Be kingdom-minded. You see, your mind is a constant battle. But I promise that the purity in your mind will pay off in your marriage, even now if you're single. You see, marriage is a beautiful covenant, and it's designed by God. God created marriage to be a beautiful thing. And I'm praying for each one of you who wish to marry someday. Above all, if you're single and waiting, let the God of love and let the God of covenant woo you into a relationship with Him and be fully and entirely satisfied in that, because God always has been, is, and always will be enough. You will find nothing in this world better than the Savior's love. So pray for your marriage now. It will impact generations to come. Start a generational blessing by praying over your marriage and your children's marriages. The right type of person will or will not come into your life, and you will or will not choose to marry them for your life. Either way, God has always been and will always be there. He will always be enough. Marriage. It's your first-hand witness to Jesus Christ and His church. Ephesians chapter 5, 22 to 33. Select carefully. Choosing who you marry is also choosing the second most spiritually influential person for the entirety of your life. Choose carefully. And remember, and this might just be for what it's worth, your spouse is not the enemy. So do not let the enemy divide you, no matter what your situation is. Whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Your life is being lived in a way that glorifies God, or it's not. If God's been working on your heart recently, and maybe even today, and the Spirit through the Word has pricked you and moved you, I pray that you hear. Jesus said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." That's why last week I set up the foundation as the elders. We've collaborated on several sermons over the next several weeks. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Your hearing might start in your mind and in your heart. And if God has moved you and worked in you where you need to respond publicly, let it be known. If you need to respond privately, let it happen right now. And be sure, above all, that everything you do gives glory to God the Father, and that you're living your life in the name of Jesus Christ. And if we can help you in that in any way, let it be known. Let's stand up and sing together.